And joining us on the phone right now from her home, from a ranch, actually, in Mantee, Utah, is Keziah Hancock. Keziah, thanks so much for joining us on the Roadhouse tonight.
You bet.
Now, first of all, so people have an idea of their geography, Keziah, where is Mantee, Utah? Where in Utah is Mantee?
It's about in the center.
Center of, and you live on a ranch, and you raise goats, among other things, right?
Yep.
How'd you get into goat ranching?
Oh, my family had goats, and then I just enjoy them, and it's kind of a family tradition.
Okay. How long have you lived there?
Well, I've only lived here at this particular location for about 12 years now, but...
Are you a native of Utah?
Oh, yes. Yeah. But wherever I've went, I've... If I can't take my goats with me, I'm not going. Wherever I've been, I've had goats.
Do you have anything but everything other than goats?
Well, I got a Miss Whiskey. She's a great big, beautiful golden lab. And then I've got about 10 cats and about 30 chickens. And
it's crowded.
And some geese and some ducks.
It's crowded.
We're just all here together.
Crowded at the ranch. Now, you're also an artist, and in Utah and in elsewhere, a very well-known artist. How long have you been painting, Keziah?
About 30 years.
And have you always made your living painting?
No, just basically for the last about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And back in 2000, now, and I've seen a lot of your paintings online, and you're doing a lot of different kinds of things. It's really hard to, I think it would be very hard to categorize your work. You really you do portrait work, you do landscape work, you do still life work, but you also do it in different ways, don't you?
Yeah, I've got about three styles that I use quite often.
And what are those?
Well, you know, there's the use of the flat brush, different sizes, and then there's the time when I pick up the palette knife, which is like a small triangle thing, a cement layer, only it's very teeny. And that's what it looks like, you know.
Yep.
Kind of a trial. And so they call it a palette knife. And I've done actually quite a few paintings with that.
Now, were you... Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just... I enjoy a lot of different type of art. And, you know, if someone wants to put me in a box, I don't fit.
In a lot of different ways, I'm guessing, but
yeah,
certainly
yep,
that way. Now,
that's true.
Did you take professional training as far as painting, or are you self-taught?
Well, darling, you know, hey, I just married the instructor.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Yep, that's what I did. When I was taking lessons from him, that's how we met, I was paying him $25 an hour. Yeah.
It'd be cheaper to marry him.
25 years ago, that was a lot of money.
Yeah. Still is.
Yeah, I know it. And so it was 3 hours a week. And I recorded the sessions so that I could play them back. But after we were married, I had access to his teaching manuals because he was a... an art instructor at Salt Lake College.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start painting pictures, painting portraits of fallen soldiers?
Well, it was in March of 2003.
And how'd that happen? How did you first start doing that?
Well, I was listening to a radio broadcast. And they were, you know, I was actually fishing for a better music station. And they, it was from a channel that's like, 150 miles in here. I don't hardly ever even get that channel. But it just came in loud and clear. And they were talking about the life of James W. Cowley in the Bountiful Woods Cross area in just north of Salt Lake, Utah. And he had been killed. And, Dad, you know, see, the thing of it is my father served in World War One, and he had an injury. They sent him home. A bullet had cracked his skull because it had grazed the side of his skull, and they put a steel plate in his head and then sent him home as a disabled veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he died a week before I was born. And you know what? I have such empathy for all those left behind. And that's the thing. It just and it's my only one thing that I really have to offer. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm going to contact that family, and by God, I'm going to do them an oil painting and just give it to them and say, bless your heart, one American to another. Just very simple act of kindness. And but then it didn't stop there, of course.
No, it didn't. That was in 2003. You're still doing it. You're the head of an organization. You started an organization. I don't know if they call it an organization, a movement perhaps, called Project Compassion. And you have continued, along with some other artists, to paint soldiers, both men and women, who have died in combat overseas. How did it go from hearing about this? And I find that amazing, by the way, that you heard this over a radio station that you can hardly ever even get on your radio.
Yeah.
No such thing as a coincidence, you know.
Right.
And how did that go? How did from that one? How did it take off then? What happened next?
Well, the thing is it's kind of hard to get a hold of that information from a family, and so I had to contact people from the local newspaper, and I said, you know, you guys already have the information on them. Would you get a hold of them for me and let them know that I'm an artist? They can look at my website, and they can see a lot of the paintings that I've done of other things, you know, and tell them I want to do a painting for them for free. And so they did, and then they says, well, so there's a John Darren Smith that's also been killed. What about his parents? And I said, oh, yes, please. Let them know also. That's how it started. And they said, well, so you're just going to do the ones from Utah. And I said, do you think I appreciate the man from New York any less or Texas? I don't think so. He says, well, my gosh, Keziah, you can't possibly do all of them. There's been almost 80 killed. You know, and I says, you know, I'm kind of funny. When I get a stiff upper lip, just get out of my way, you know, because I'm going to go do whatever I'm going to go do.
I somehow get the impression that's true.
That's right. So anyway, I said, I'm going to do all I can till I either get them all painted or I expire trying. And they says, well, okay then. And that's the way it is.
And that's the way it started, and that's the way it's been. How many have you done to this point in time, Keziah?
Well, you know, I knew that this number was coming up, and a request was submitted to me of a darling girl that she looks like a young Tina Turner, and she had just had this little baby that is so adorable. And the look on her face is like, oh, dear God, this is the most wonderful thing that I have ever held in my arms. And that look is what I used and did the painting. It's number 777.
777 paintings.
Yeah.
Just you.
Just me. Yeah. And now that was last week. Now I'm working on 778, but I don't have.
How do want to remind our listeners, we're visiting with Keziah Hancock, who is an artist from Mantee, Utah, who has just finished her 777th painting of soldiers who have been killed either in Iraq or Afghanistan. How do you find out about them now? Do people send requests to you?
We're endorsed by the Department of Defense, and they submit a list of the casualties, to us, and mm-hmm. then my office assistant, the gal that you talked to, she
that I mistakenly letters. Called Jenna, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She sends letters to the families, and then that lets them know about our offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how it's done.
And then they're sent off to the families for no charge at all, and they've got this wonderful memorial that they have forever of their loved one.
Yeah.
Now, painting is your vocation. Obviously, it's also your love, but, I mean, it is how you make your living. And you're doing this for nothing. How do you make that work?
Well, that's a dang good question, you know. Because I tell you, I've been on my knees, and I've talked to the man upstairs about it and says, hey, you know what? I have to believe if I look out for others, you'll look out for me. I have to believe that. I have to have faith that somehow I'll be able to survive. And you know what? So I just do it. See, the thing is years ago when I was painting other paintings for galleries and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I was doing fairly well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like what if you had trained to become a heart surgeon or any kind of a surgeon for that matter, and you were just prepared with your skills to really get into the profession. And then there's a big dang earthquake, and you wake up, and there's all these people that are injured, maimed, and crippled, and just the whole world's full of damaged goods out there. And you think, dear God, what am I going to do now? And if you have any integrity at all, you're going to pick up that black bag with your tools, and you're gonna throw caution to the wind as how the hell you're going to survive, and you're just going to go do all the good you can to make a difference, to heal as many wounds as possible.
Hmm.
And that's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Project...
And I don't know how I'm going to survive. and it occurs to me quite often, actually, but you know what? I'm surviving. You know, I'm not a bum. So
no, obviously
I don't beg. And what the hell? And I won't beg, because... Once in a while, you know, somebody helps us, but that's because of the goodness of their heart.
Sure.
Actually, I think of the parable in the Bible about the widow's mite. The widow's mite, Christ said, was equal to the king's ransom. Now, when you think about that, Christ said, well, you know, the king, he gives up a very small portion of what he is his accumulation. But the widow, that is her total substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. So anyway.
Do you have some, as far as like the mailing, the shipping of the portraits and so forth, do you have some help with that?
That is done by FedEx. Bless Fred Smith. When he's seen the Care 11 piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's on our website, he told his people, he says, you contact her, see what we can do to help. So they have just been wonderful. That's the finest organization, as far as I'm concerned, on the face of the earth. I just love them.
Now, what about, do you have other artists that are involved too, Kazaya?
Oh, yes. You mm-hmm. betcha. You betcha. Ladies, I would have been in my grave by now. We've done about 2,500 collectively.
Have you really?
Mm-hmm.
And how do these other artists become part of Project Compassion?
Well, darling, I put each one of them on a trial basis in the beginning
uh-huh.
to find out who's diligent. And there's actually quite a few that are not with us because they just didn't have the spirit of the work. I couldn't trust them to put out quality.
Mm.
And you know, The four other artists that we have, they're fabulous human beings. They're beautiful artists. I love their work, and I love them as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And we work just great as a team.
And if people are listening to this, well, first of all, you do have a website. You could either go to, I think, is it projectcompassion.org?
Or heropaintings.com.
Heropaintings.com. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And people can find out about it. And there is a way for people to help out, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. But, you know, and that's the thing. I just figure anybody that's got any brains at all, they can see that this takes money.
Oh, sure.
So once in a while, somebody sees that and they want to help, and that's a beautiful thing. But to have me go out there and knock on doors and bump some people, I won't do it.
No, I understand. I understand.
But
I got a feeling that after people have heard about this and after people know about you, I have a feeling that, again, like you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart, out of the goodness of their heart, they'll want to help as well.
Well, you know, this life's too short not to. Look, here's the thing. These soldiers, they deserve the honor to have their memory preserved. The families are absolutely crushed. And the love and appreciation that has been expressed back to us, I mean, in my cabinet downstairs, I've got a drawer that's about a foot high and 18 inches both ways, and it's full of cards and letters and thank yous from those that have received these.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, I tell Candy, I says, well, you know, geez, when I get to be 95 and I'm in a rocking chair and I can't paint no more and half blind in one eye and can't see out of the other, what the heck? You know, somebody can sit there and read me these beautiful letters.
Huh.
And so.
And how long does it take you to do a painting, or does it vary?
It varies. You know, it's, it's like, okay, if you do the man and the child, then that's basically doing two portraits.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
See, whenever I have that opportunity, I'll never just eliminate the child that's in the arms just to paint him. Mm. Because, see, that child knows that that he's in that photo. I mean, that could give a kid brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it could give him an inferiority complex for the rest of his life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just won't do it. Yeah. No, I just paint them together, and it's a beautiful thing, because who knows, it may be that child that winds up with a painting, you know.
Oh, sure.
35 years from now.
And I'm assuming that you do the paintings off of photographs that they send you?
Yeah, and then you know, it's like this one of this darling girl, the 777.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, the really horribly incomplete research that they gave me, and the angle that it was shot, you know, I just have to improvise.
Uh-huh.
Every once in a while I have to have somebody come here and model for me to complete it, you
uh-huh.
know, to bring down the rest of the body, and, you know, even though she's in a nightgown, to paint her where you can see where her legs are and background, she's sitting on a bed and you know, wallpaper in the background, whatever. It's so that it's complete. It's beautiful. And sometimes when I kind of leave things just really abstracty, man, you know, they didn't send me too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I just do the best that I can. You know, see, the thing is actually, a lot of artists are really, can I say, just pissy. they don't want to work from anything that isn't a live model and perfect research, because they're going to sign their name on it. You know, and I understand that. Because, yeah, sure. If I had my druthers, yeah, I'd pose people. I'd put them in the right kind of clothes and get them in the right positioning and tell them to give me the right kind of look, like as if they was some Hollywood actor and stuff, so I could do a fabulous painting. Well, that just, you see, I had to deal with that right straight up, and I just said, Keziah, not about you. this is what you have to work with. Now, by God, you're going to take and do the very best you can with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And yes, you will find it. And I just said, so, okay, fine.
It must be emotionally. It's got to be tough.
Oh, more
to do
than
these.
You'll ever know.
I'm sure that's true.
I'll tell you something, my friend. In the beginning, I was just bawling all day long, every day, just walking from the kitchen to my art studio and just a flood of tears. And then after doing a painting, I'd have to go about 2 weeks before I could stand to do another one because I knew that it would just make me an emotional wreck. So finally, and then is it become more widespread, the knowledge of that I was going to do this, because it was just me in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got on my knees and I said, "Dear God, I cannot handle this pain. Christ died for the sins of the world, and you know what? I hate to give him this package of hurt and pain and death and destruction, but he is a God, and I'm just a little girl, and I can't carry it, so I'm sorry to have to give this to him, too." And I just motioned my hand as if I was pulling a great big bundle off my back, and I put it on the floor in front of me, and I said, "Because I have to paint, I have to think about the principles and elements of art, and I'm talking to God as if I'm as if somebody might be listening."
Mm-hmm.
By myself, but I'm assuming that some invisible angels are checking in, out what I'm saying. And so I'm just said, "That's me in the other room. I'm going to think about the principles and elements of art to preserve their memory, and how I survive. I just have to leave all that up to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." And then I got up off my knees and I pointed to the floor where I'd placed the invisible package.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Now, damn it, Keziah, don't you dare pick that up again. You can't handle it. You can't. You've just got to leave it there." And I just, like, commanded my soul to stop it. And you know what? I've been able to carry on.
Huh.
Yeah?
That's amazing.
You know, you got to do what you got to do. And,
that's
and,
right.
And I believe in prayer and I believe in faith. So, hey, we just go on. But you know what? I am very, very blessed. And I am so loved. We are all so loved. You know, you think of all these poor souls out in the world that, you know, they're all trying to struggle to find a place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is something that I learned a very long time ago, and this is something that I think would be a counterbalance to depression. When a person has every reason in the world to sing the blues and, you know, cry in their beer and feel sorry for themselves, for the love of my, find somebody that's worse off than you are and do what you can to bless their life.
Uh-huh. That's great.
And if you do that, that's a recipe for success.
That's true. That's absolutely
true.
We have been visiting with Keziah Hancock, who I have never met you face to face, but you are an amazing person, and who is head of Project Compassion. If you want to find out about Keziah or the work that she does, the paintings that she does, go to heropaintings.com, Hero Paintings, all one word. And Keziah, first of all, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us here on our program. But more than that, I want to thank you sincerely for what you're doing. That's all I can tell you. Just thank you so much.
You bet.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You bet.